Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle this morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're so glad to gather, so privileged to gather once more in the house of the Lord. Amen. Where we can give thanks for all that He has done, all that He has worked out on our behalf. Amen. Glory to God. All that He has brought to our remembrance. Amen. So we thank you. We thank you for all that are here in the sanctuary. We thank you for those who are joining via Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We welcome you here, Taylor Tabernacle in West Philadelphia, Cobbs Creek section, where the elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. 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 Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. On this morning, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you, O Lord, hallelujah, for the breath that is in our lungs. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, for the focus that is on our mind, hallelujah, and the desire in our spirit to be with you. God, we look to you on this morning, hallelujah. Glory to your name, and we know that you are still standing on the throne. And though we are not perfect in our weak self, we serve a perfect God. The one who made the sun shine, hallelujah, rose it again that we may be witnesses of your glory. So, Father, on this morning, we invite you in today. We invite you into our presence. We invite you into our ear space and to our heart space, oh God. Do a mighty work. Hallelujah, Jesus. One that only you can do. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Move in our midst. Hallelujah. Oh, that we all week long may tell, hallelujah, others of what you have done for us. Remind us in the word that's on the way, oh God. Hallelujah. Bless that word. Oh, that it would be a blessing for us and our house. Lord, we love you and we praise you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. While you're praising, while you're lifting up the name of the Lord, won't you join our praise and worship team? Not as they present to you, but as they allow you to participate. Hallelujah. Come on and join us in praising the Lord this morning. Hallelujah.
On this morning, let's lift his name. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. He calls me friend out of everything. He calls me friend. Amen. Who am I? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. Yeah, who am I? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true? Is it true, oh Lord? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. It's amazing. God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I am a friend. Come on, I am.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I'm a friend.
I am a friend of God.
Who am I? Who am I?
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call?
Is it true, O Lord?
Is it true that you are thinking of me?
How you love me.
How you love me. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I am a friend.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I am a friend. I'm a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
I am
a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me
Lord
friend.
Almighty.
Lord Almighty. Lord of glory. You
table, amen. We are now at this time are going to read our scripture from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to ask Deaconess Barbara Williams, she's going to come forward to read.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. If you'd stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whosoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and why a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when we meet together, it may not result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Excuse me.
Now, if we would join in the confession of faith led by our deaconess.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. And we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Father, we once again thank you for this privilege of the communion table that you have prepared for us. Father, you prepared it long ago by your work on the cross and for bearing of our sins, which we could not do of our own. And so, Lord, as you have instructed us to remember you in this manner, we pray that these elements now would transform from the bread and the wine and become life for us, life set apart and holy for you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Service now in the hands of our pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford.
You may be seated. I am going to ask that you hold on to your sacraments because we're going to take them at the end. So you won't need that right now, but just put it somewhere that you have it close by and we get to the conclusion of the sermon. We'll take communion then. Okay, fair enough. First, let me start by expressing my gratitude to both Robert and to Tyrone for shoveling our sidewalks and putting down salt throughout the week. I'm sure as all of you remember, we had two snowstorms this week. And they shoveled twice, and I am very appreciative because their efforts behind the scene during the week, coming out in the cold and shoveling, allows us to continue to be a good neighbor in our neighborhood, okay, by having our sidewalks cleared. Because, you know, on Monday through Friday, tons of kids walk down this block. Bryan Elementary School is literally a block away. And so there are tons of kids and parents and grandparents coming down our pathway, our sidewalk, Monday through Friday. So again, special thanks. If you get a chance, give Rob a pat on the back. If you get a chance, thank Tyrone for their effort in that regard. Amen? Okay, good. Okay, so with that, we'll turn our attention to the Word of God. All month long, we have been talking about communion, okay? Last Sunday, we talked about our consecration for communion, our preparation, not just of the sacraments, but the preparations of our own lives, right? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We started the new year off by talking about our conduct at communion, right? During this last supper with his disciples, he said, I give you a new command. He said what? To love one another, right? And so, how we, treat and engage one another, is important as you look at communion. And then finally on this Sunday, what I want to talk about are the consequences of communion. Okay? We have our conduct, we have our consecration, and relative to the Lord's table, there are consequences, right? One of the things that I learn year after year, that I continue to pastor and study and teach the Word of God, I always gain a greater appreciation for what our predecessors did relative to how we worship. And one of the things that I distinctly remember, especially as I was studying this particular passage as it relates to communion, is how the matriarch was a stickler for kids not taking communion. She was a stickler about that. They weren't over 12 or 13, whatever the age. She said, she was like, no, don't, they can sit and watch, but they can't take communion. I always, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? But it's when you begin to delve into the Word of God, you begin to understand why. And as I was studying on this passage, I was understanding why. Because there are consequences to taking communion, right? And so you don't want to put someone unknowingly in harm's way when it's just better, just don't take it. You know what I mean? Until you're ready. Okay. So with that, you had the passage read. What I'm going to do to start, I'm going to read verses 27 to 34. But I'm going to read them out of the Amplified Bible first, and then I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, right? One of the things that I know I find as a challenge with communion, you've heard me say this throughout the month, is because we do it often, it just becomes, it's just communion. It's nothing, you can almost recite the thing, oh, the Lord took bread and broke his body. And drank. I mean, you just, why? Because you hear it all the time, right? And so it creates the possibility that it's what kids often say of their parents. Oh, that's just mom again. That's just dad again. And they're not really paying attention to what's being said. Why? Because as a parent, you're talking all the time. You know what I mean? So it loses some significance, right? So oftentimes as parents, we always say, man, I wish someone else could talk to them because they might receive it, but they want to say the same exact thing that you have said as a parent. But because they're not a parent, they may just what? Receive it differently. You know what I mean? Just because the coach said, you ought to get your grades up, now all of a sudden they want to do their homework. You've been telling them from September, do your homework, right? Now a third party comes and says, and now it has a different impact, on them. And so with that in mind, sometimes hearing the same passage, but just with a different slant or a different angle of vision on it may cause certain parts of it to stand out. So I said, this, we always read it out of the King James, New King James Version. This time I just want to read it out of the Amplified, and then I'm going to read it out of the Message. Okay? Fair enough. So if you have those translations on your, your e-Bible or iPhone and want to follow along, great. If not, just follow along. I'm going to read it in our hearing. Okay? But before we do, Lord, bless your word tonight. Cause us to be prepared to receive your body and blood in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. So here it is. I'm going to read first out of the Amplified Bible. It's just what you've heard, 27 through 33, but just give a listen. So then, whoever eats bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. But a person must prayerfully examine himself and his relationship to Christ. And only when he has done so should he eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without solemn reverence and heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifice of Christ eats and drinks a judgment on himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason why many among you are weak, sick, and some have even died. But if we evaluate and judge ourselves honestly, recognizing our own shortcomings and correcting our own behavior, we would not be judged. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined by undergoing his correction, so that we will not be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another and see to it that no one is left out. Amen? That's the Amplified. Same passage. Again, I'm just going to read it this time out of the Message Bible. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spat on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives, test your heart, and come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of a serious consequence. That is why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to the grave early. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later. Better to be confronted by the Master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. Fiery, meaning time you see fire in the Bible, it means what? Judgment. Okay? Anytime you see fire, that's what it means in the Bible. Judgment. So, my friends, when you come together to the Lord's table, be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to be served, go home and get a sandwich. By no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. It is a spiritual meal, a love feast with the Master. The other things you have asked about, I will respond in person when I make my next visit. Amen? Does that add a different spin to it? You kind of see or hear it in a little different light. Now, to the Word of God. Here we go. I'm going to start by making two statements. Okay? The first one is, marriage is serious business. If you agree, let me see your hand. Marriage is serious business. Anyone know why marriage is such serious business? I'll tell you why. Marriage is serious business because it is God ordained. Okay? In spite of the days and times in which we live, where men, where government, politicians are trying to manipulate marriage as if it was theirs, it's not. Okay? Gotta always remember that, right? The witness, you have it, Mark 10 and 9. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And if you remember when we were in chapter 10 in Mark, he was saying this in context of marriage. Right? Right? God has ordained the marriage covenant. Right? It was God who created Eve and gave her to the man so that they might become what? The Bible says what? One flesh. Right? So marriage is serious, not because you say it's serious, not because anyone else says it's serious or not serious. Marriage is serious business because it is ordained by God. That's why you hear the preacher say at the marriage ceremony to the husband and wife before they're married, this is something that is not to be entered into what? Unadvisedly. This is serious stuff. Don't just do this because you ain't got nothing else to do this Saturday. This is serious business, right? Because you're making a vow not just to each other. You're making a vow unto God, right? And God has said, don't let anyone mess this thing up, right? If you've done it his way, right? Marriage is serious business. Now, here's the second statement. Communion is serious business. You may not have realized that before we got into the sermon, but communion is serious business. Right? Anybody know why communion is serious business? Communion is serious business because, like marriage, it has been ordained by God. Are you with me? Same principle. Ordained and established by God himself. Listen to what Paul says. We read it all the time. 1 Corinthians, and he says what? For I have received from the Lord. Right? This is what the Word of God said. He said, I didn't get this from the Apostle Peter. I didn't counsel with James and John. God spoke to me directly. And said, write what you've heard. That's what he said. He said, for I have received of the Lord, which I now deliver. He said, this is direct revelation. This is not my opinion. This is not my thought. This is not what I heard happened. This is what God told me directly. Right? Communion is serious business. Right? And so with that, we come and we've got it, we go through it, we hear it all the time. But now in this particular passage, these verses, 27 through 29, now we deal with the consequences of communion, right? If taken properly, communion is a blessing both to the believer and the body of Christ. But if communion is taken improperly, or what Paul so famously says here, in an unworthy manner, then there are consequences. Right? You with me on that? What does it mean to take communion in an unworthy manner? It means to take communion with an attitude of indifference. To take communion with an unrepentant heart. To take communion with a spirit of bitterness or any other ungodly attitude. Right? Communion is serious business, so it should be taken with a serious attitude. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what it means to take it in an unworthy manner.
that you came to the Lord's table and you did not take his sacrifice. See, and by his sacrifice, I'm talking about this. Right? You let it become common. By unworthy, Paul is not referring to someone's personal worthiness. We are all sinful. No person is worthy of salvation. And that is why we need God's grace. Instead, Paul is talking about the careless manner in which the church at Corinth participated in communion. They were taking something sacred and treating it like something common. This special service of remembrance and intimacy with the Lord and his people had lost its solemn significance because of the self-centered way they engaged in the Lord's Supper. We are not required to come to the Lord's table without any sin in our lives. If we had to be perfect, none of us would ever be able to take communion. But we must take communion seriously, recognizing its significance and the principle of the unity of his body, the church, which this particular ordinance, communion, which this ordinance is designed to encourage. We must not sin against the Lord by showing contempt for his sacrifice. Okay? You with me on that? Paul goes on to say, let a person examine himself so that he may partake of the holy meal in a worthy manner. Okay? We talked about what's unworthy. Well, what's a worthy manner? In view here is not only the addressing of personal sins, the repentant heart, right? But the way in which believers relate to one another. The absence of unity and the presence of racial or social or economic divisions are to be avoided at all costs. How we relate to the body of Christ, the church, its members, affects how God relates to us. You with me on that? Your love for other believers matters. Okay? Let me see if I say it again if the whole church says amen. Your love for other believers matters. It matters. It matters to God. That's one of the purposes of communion, is to bring us together so that we are not divided. The Bible says a divided house shall what? Shall not stand. It can't stand. Right? So the Holy Spirit is always working to bring the body of Christ together. Right? The power of the Trinity is in its what? Its unity. That God the Father, God the Son, God the can always be in concert with one another. Never one going this way and one the other. They always what? All on the same, always going in the same direction. One of the interesting things, I don't know how you explain it the way you want to explain it. If you ever study angels, and study the cherubim and how it has two wings, another two wings, and then two wings on its fleet. And when I was studying that, it talks about the cherubim having the ability to move in any direction with the Spirit of God. Wherever God wants to move, the cherubim can go forward, backwards, up, down, anywhere. He can move in concert with God. That's why he has the multiple wings. He can move in any way that the Spirit of God moves. Right? And then likewise, that's why he's always, the Holy Spirit always driving us to be one. We said it last Sunday in his high priestly prayer. Jesus makes this request above any and everything. He says, Father, make them one. And then he qualifies it as you and I are one. Make them like us. That's what his prayer is. That's what he's praying. And he's not praying that we become gods. He's praying that we become what? Unified. What? In the faith. That's what he's praying for. And so he said, your love for believers matters. To treat your relationship with other believers with anything other than respect is to eat and drink judgment to one's self. The consequence of communion. The church at Corinth, they came with a selfish attitude. They bought wine and got drunk and didn't care. They brought food and didn't share. One part of the table had extra, the other part didn't have nothing. And they went on down the road like, hey, that's just the way it is. Right? It's consequences to how you treat your brother. Because the way you treat your brother, your sister, other believers is what? An example of how you treat what? Christ himself. Are you with me? Do you ever think of communion in that manner? Most times we don't. Most times we just come and take communion. And if they don't get a sacrament, well, Lord bless them or something. No, we gotta be concerned. We have to be united, right? We have to have a genuine love for each other. And the communion service reminds us of that. You follow what I'm saying? Eats and drinks judgment to himself. Hebrews 10:29 says this, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? And I'm not making this up. This is it. When you take communion in an underwear, he's literally saying you trample on Jesus Christ yourself. This is what he's saying. This is in your Bible, right? Right? He said, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has also counted the blood of the covenant, right? The cup is what? This blood represents what? The new covenant in my blood. Tie your Bible together. This is the covenant Paul's talking about. He says, who has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. That blood is the blood that saved us. Now you're counting it as a common thing. Right? And look, he keeps going. Paul keeps driving. He said, but not Paul, the Hebrew writer, has gone on and continues to say, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord will judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You with me on that? This is in your Bibles, Hebrews 10:29-31. Unless you recognize that the Lord's Supper represents Christ's victory on the cross, through which he transfers spiritual victory to your life, and unless you are in fellowship with the Spirit, his spiritual family, the communion service, which is intended to bless you, could instead curse you. Notice I say God didn't curse you. The communion service is intended to bless you. But we can turn it into a curse on ourselves if we take it in an unworthy manner. Paul goes on to explain that the Corinthian believers had been experiencing divine judgment. Their selfish actions around the Lord's table had resulted in many of them becoming ill and some even passing on to death. Since they had not judged their own actions properly, God intervened and severely disciplined them. The text says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If you just take communion serious, read what it says, understand what it says, understand your conduct, your consecration. Why? Because there's consequences to it. If you just come in with the right frame of mind, then communion will bless you. And all you got to do is judge yourself. You don't need anyone else to judge you, right? Judge your own relationship with Christ. The Amplified Bible said prayerfully, right? Consider what is being brought before us. Consider what we are reminded of. And then consider your response, right? It'll get you in the right frame of mind. So examine yourself before you take the Lord. And let me say something about this severe judgment. Because Paul said many of you are sick. We read it out of the Amplified Bible. He said many of you are listless, right? Another way of that is saying lifeless, right? The Word of God said I would rather you be what? Hot or cold, right? But not lukewarm. That's what listless is like. You're lukewarm. We dealt with it last. He'll spew you out of your mouth. He doesn't want that, right? Either catch on fire or just go back. You follow what I'm saying, right? Right. And all he's saying is you examine your own self, right? And when you examine your life in the light of God's grace, which is His Son, right? It should provoke a response, what? For you to love and serve God. Are you with me? And so, but we talked about this on Wednesday night, and so this is why it's in my mind. But this judgment, you look at it and say, man, many are sick and some have even died. Even in His discipline, God is still good. Even in causing some to come to a premature death. Right? Look at what this says. It says when you so that you are not condemned with the world. He's even good when He whips us. He's a blessing to us even when He disciplines us. Right. When He closes open doors, when He restricts our movement, God is still good, even when it feels bad. Why? Because He spares us, maybe not in this life, but definitely in the life to come. Paul said, because you won't be condemned with the rest of the world. Said, before I allow you to go further and make things worse, so I'll call you up yonder. Yeah, yeah, I'll bring some things in. I had more to give for you. I had more in store for you. But because you failed to take communion seriously, He said, I'll just call you up yonder. Look at it, He's even good when we're bad. He's even right when we're wrong. Hallelujah. He's merciful even when we are careless. God is still good. Here it is. We're finished. So examine yourself before you take the Lord's Supper. Ask yourself, do I expect God's blessing to flow to me through communion? While I ignore sin in my life, while I allow disunity in my life. And I want to put a bracket on this. When disunity in my life, both disunity in the church and your family. Are you with me? The disunity in the church, we've worked that out. Gotta love the brethren, love those that are around the Lord's table with you. But the communion service should also cause you to love your natural family. Are you with me on this? Husbands, it should cause you to appreciate your wife more if you take communion seriously. Wives, taking communion seriously causes you to love, right, your husbands more. Parents, communion causes us to treat our children better, not worse. Are you with me on this? So it's not just, oh, I have to love those in the church, but I also have to love and treat better those in my own family. I heard a preacher say something one time, and at the time I wasn't mature enough to handle what he said, but now, years later, I get it. He said, preaching makes me a better husband. That's what he said. That's how he opened his workshop. Preaching makes me a better husband. The average time to put together a good 30-minute sermon is anywhere between 12 to 20 hours of study. Add a few more hours for prayer. There's no way you can put that kind of time in to prepare a sermon and then get up and yell at your wife. It's not possible. Preachers who get up and yell at their wives is because what? They're not putting the time in. There's no way you can come face to face with the Word of God consistently 2-3 hours every day to prepare for a Sunday and get up and abuse your children. It's not possible. Now I understand what the old preacher said. Preaching makes him a better, not a worse husband, a better husband. Preaching makes him a better father. Why? Because he's up. You can't handle this and then get up and cuss out some. The two are diametrically separate. You can't do it. Either the love of God is in you or it's not. So in like manner, taking communion should make us better, not worse. Are you with me this Sunday? Good. If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Here's the whole thing. This simple self-examination will allow the repentant believer to access the healing benefits of the cross. Just said another way, if you take communion seriously, properly, the way it should be, communion will be a blessing to you. I close by saying what Isaiah said. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid on him. And by his stripes, when we come around the communion table and look back and remember his stripes, the healing virtue flows to every participant at the Lord's table. By his stripes, we're healed. By his stripes, we're strengthened. By his stripes, we're made better. By his stripes, our sins are forgiven. By his stripes, we are made and created new in the image of Christ. By his stripes. When we come around the communion table and remember his stripes, we're made better. We're purified. We're sanctified. We're consecrated. Our conduct improves. Our likeness to God comes closer. Every communion service causes us to be more and more like Christ. Until one day, we'll finally look through the glass clearly. And we'll see him as he is. And we will also be seen as we truly are. And all we have to do is take communion seriously. Shall we all stand? At this time, let us take up our sacrament. You take out that wafer. Let's just lift it up to the Lord. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." But we'll wait, we'll wait, we'll wait. Some didn't have. Let's make sure everyone has the sacraments. Thank God, right? Isn't that what he said? When you come together, what? Wait for one another. Now that they have sacraments again, we just take out the wafer representing the bread, representing his body. He said, "This is what I gave for you. Every time you take communion, remember it." Shall we eat together? Now the grape juice is that new covenant, is that new agreement signed and sealed with his own blood. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of it." O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We thank you for the simple and easy to understand instructions concerning the communion service. Help us to always be mindful of our conduct, our consecration, and the consequences of communion. In so doing, strengthen the body of Christ. Strengthen our families and our communities. And cause us as believers to become more and more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 At this time, we just thank the Lord for the word that has come and for the availability of the gospel message. Amen. And we just use this opportunity that if there's one who would like to know more about this walk and not like to know more about this faith that we have in Christ Jesus, amen, to join alongside others. Amen, who are already on this walk, that we might help you and share with you the word that has been given with us. We just open up this opportunity for you to join the church at this time. Amen. We open up the doors both here in our sanctuary as well as online. And for those that would reach out to us by dialing the church number, 215-748-4578, visiting our website or one of our social media outlets, and just connecting with us with just that simple note that you would like to know more about what it means to have faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we've opened up the church at this time. We thank all for your participation. We're going to transition in the service, and our Miss Kennedy is going to come before us and lead us in our offering, amen, and our giving back unto the Lord. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. Cash App $ Tabernacle, Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes/offerings and one for your preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan Ford 25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Good morning, church. This is our announcement for today. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you may be informed and up to date with all your upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your email address and we will add you to our list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had COVID-19, we encourage you to please stay home. Wednesday night is prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Remember the pastor's Ford's Youth Challenge to invite your friends and family, neighbors to participate in our Wiley program. And for our special announcement today, it is Girl Scout cookie season. Cookies are on sale. So, as everyone knows, we like to thank you. Actually, I would like to thank you and our sister Zakiya, who is not here, for always supporting our girls with Girl Scouts. We do know they like hustling. But they are learning a lot through the Girl Scouts, so we're very appreciative of that. So what we're asking is this. Zoe and Zaya are asking the church to purchase, to help them raise funds. They're asking the church to purchase 50 boxes of cookies from them. So they have their websites that are on the link, and they also have a QR code. So their cookies are $5. PA is always cheaper than New Jersey. Jersey is high. because of taxes and everything else. So, with that, if you would like to still support Kennedy, Kennedy's cookies are $6. If you still would like to support her, we just ask if you just do a donation. If you want to do a donation, that's fine, but purchase your cookies from Zoe and Zaya. And with that, our pastor will come out for our benediction. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Thank you for those announcements. And if that being all, shall we stand? And thank, special thanks to all of you here in person, those joining us virtually. Thanks so much for your time and attention during this communion series. My hope and prayer is that these series of messages will stay with us every time we take communion, right? So that we can ensure individually and collectively as a church that we are taking communion in a worthy manner. Amen? Amen. Okay, Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to gather in this place, to gather in your name, and to gather with and among your people. Thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that your word has been elevated and shared in our hearts and in our hearing. Now go with us as we depart this place, but not your presence. We ask that you would stand up strong in the life of the believer everywhere. Go with us as we head back to school and we head back to work, as we go into our neighborhoods and communities, as we travel. Lord, keep us safe and allow us to continue to shine brightly with the light of your Son. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. 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 God bless you, Taylor.